أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. Continuing with the hadith about different branches of conduct, we were discussing the way we have to treat people. And several of them we discussed: al-hilm, forbearance, at-tawadu, humbleness, al-af, forgiveness. One other thing that is mentioned in this hadith is as-sakha, generosity. Generosity is a characteristic which stems from several things. First of all, it stems from reliance in God, that we give and we are not afraid of future, of poverty. We are not afraid that we will be one day in need ourselves, so let us keep it for, let us reserve for ourselves, so to speak. الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء والله يعدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا. Shaitan always threatens you by poverty. And that's why we always, or not always, sometimes we become very miserly. We don't want to give away. We want to keep things for ourselves because we are afraid of future. So it threatens us with poverty. And of course, commands you to indecency. They are the same thing, because indecency stems from the fact that we don't have things in this world that others have or that our desires would want. And therefore the shaitan tells, well, go and get it by any price, in any way. And this is how shaitan commands us to indecency. Wallahu ya'idukum maghfiratan min. In the opposite, Allah promises you maghfira, forgiveness. Do not do things which are prohibited, which are regarded to be grave sins, then Allah promises you that He would forgive all other things. This is a very good promise, actually. And it's very easy. Just do not go around those things which Allah strongly prohibits. The great sins, major sins, Al-Kabair, as the Quran calls it, in tajtanibu. I don't know if this verse is really going to be realized for us. We should be very happy. In tajtanibu kabair ma tunhauna anhu yukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum wa yudkhilkum mudkhalan karima. Just avoid those great sins that I strongly prohibit. Killing people, stealing, adultery, fornication, alcohol, and other things that I strongly prohibit you. Avoid those things. And the main minor sins, I will forgive all of them for you. And of course, there's a reason. Because these major sins would stick to the soul. It's very difficult to detach them, separate them. And that's why it would take us with itself to hell. You know, on the day of judgment, Allah will give us a very good scrubbing. It rubs and tries to clean our heart. And somehow, this is the maghfirah, to wash away all those sins which are washable. But there are certain sins which are not washable. cannot be washed by strongest scrubbing, cannot be washed away, then those things would take us to sin, to hell. Now, therefore, we are talking about Sakha. Shaitan doesn't allow us to be generous. And generosity, when we talk about these characteristics in human soul, we have to know that these should become sort of permanent, continuous qualities, so that we are called. For example, we should continuously give to be called generous, not just one time or two times, couple of times. The sins are the same thing. A couple of times sinning would not pollute the soul. Repentance would cleanse it. But if we continuously sin, then of course it would be impossible to wash away. The scholars of akhlaq, they say that character is something that can be changed and can be trained. Something becomes part of your character when you do it effortlessly and without forethought. If you go to a generous person and ask them for something, they don't think, or they don't exert effort to help you. They do it. It's part of their character. If you go to a miserly person, even if they are close relatives, they have to think a lot. Should I help? Should I not help? What about myself? What about that aspect, this aspect? And then after great exertion and tiredness of the thought, they may give you something. Now, even if they give you, they are not regarded to be generous. They have done it, of course. Generosity, when we say saha towards mu'minun, towards people, it means that you have to be able to somehow give whatever even you are in need of. Give whatever you think that you in future you will need it. Just give. This is saha. Now, you see that it's not very easy. Not all of us can have this characteristic. And we have to train the character. The character can be changed, can be trained. If we are not generous, we have in many traditions, إذا لم تكن حليما فتهلم. If you don't have helm and forbearance, force it upon yourself. If you are not generous, force it upon yourself, and after a while, you feel that you can do it just automatically. Some friends were asking, how can we purify our soul? Tazkiyatun nafs. The method is this. You have to, first of all, you have to realize what is good for nafs, what is bad. And secondly, you have to train it. You have to, with force, with discipline, with conviction, resolve, try to change it. That is how it's made possible. We know, for example, one aspect of tazkiyatun nafs is to bring remembrance of God to our hearts. And one very important aspect of that is Salatul Layl, doing these 11 rak'ahs of Salat before dawn, for example. Now, you may say, how can I purify my soul to be able to remember God all the time? Okay, this is one way. Well, it's very difficult. If you want purification of the soul, that's the way. If you don't want it, then don't try. Resolve, discipline, willingness, these are the things which would lead us towards purification of the soul. The other thing that the Imam mentions is shafaqah, compassion. Shafaqah is a sort of fear. We should have shafaqah towards God as well. We have in the Quran, in Surah Tur, when the believers talk about this world in paradise, you know, one of the good things about paradise, And even about hell, the bad things about hell. Good things about paradise, bad things about hell, is that people all the time remember what they used to do in this world. And they realize what they are receiving is the fruit of what they used to do here. Now, this would make the people of hell distraught, gloomy, that why did we do these things? Why did, for example, we did not follow the prophet? Why did I befriended with such and such person? وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. The day when the oppressor, when the wrongdoer would bite his finger out of regret. يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. I wished I did not befriend with such and such person who led me astray. يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. I wished I would have taken a path with the messenger. This is the situation of people of the hell. The situation of people of paradise is the opposite. They remember what they did in this world and they rejoice. There are several instances mentioned in the Quran. One instance mentioned in the Quran is in Surah Tur. Qalu, when they speak together in paradise with each other, Qalu, inna kunna fi ahlina mushfiqin. We were fearful. We were among our families, our tribes, everyone supporting us, but still we are fearful of God. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. And therefore Allah now has obliged us, has blessed us by keeping us away from the fire of the hell. They remember this, they rejoice. How good. In Surah Safat, for example, this conversation in Surah Safat is very beautiful. فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. In the paradise, people start speaking together about this life, life of this world. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَرِينٌ. One of them would say, you know, why I'm here? Why am I here? Because I did not listen to someone who pretended to be my friend. I had a companion, not a friend. Look, this the choice of the word is very important here. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَرِينٌ. I had a companion. I did not befriend with him. يَقُولُ أَنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ. He used to tell me all the times, do you really believe all this rubbish and superstition that one day Allah would give life to the dead and will be brought before him for judgment? أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا أَإِنَّا لَمَدِينُونَ. Do you believe in all these things? Then he says, well, I didn't listen to him. Fortunately, I didn't listen to him. But let us see where is he standing now. And this is another thing about paradise. You can see anything you like. You can be present anywhere you wish. You can actually see whatever happens in the depth of the hell without being there. Our knowledge would be different, of course. Very different. And this is what is mentioned in this surah. قَالَ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُطَّلِعُونَ. He says to his friends, let's see, let's have a view of what situation he is in now. That companion of mine. قَالَ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُطَّلِعُونَ. فَاتَّلَعَ. This فَاتَّلَعَ, this one little sentence, gives us an ocean of knowledge about the way people of paradise can perceive and conceive things. فَاتَّلَعَ. They concentrate to see, and they see. فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. They see him in the midst of the hell, that companion. Then they start to speak with him, and he starts to speak with them. Now, what sort of relationship is there between people of hell and people of paradise? قَالَتَ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتَ لَتُرْدِينَ. I swear by God, you were going to take me with you to that depth of perdition that you are in now. وَلَوْلَا نِعْمَةُ رَبِّي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُحْذَرِينَ. If it was not because God helped me, God took my hand, God supported me, I would have been there now. Then, this is what I wanted to mention. They said something very pleasing. وَلَوْلَا نِعْمَةُ رَبِّي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُحْذَرِينَ. Then they start to talk among themselves. They leave that person to be punished in hell. أَفَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَيِّتِينَ إِلَّا مَوْتَتَنَا الْأُولَى وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ. Really, aren't we going to die again? Are we going to be here forever? We cannot believe this. Just a short span of life we lived in that world. Now, because of that, Allah has brought us here. Are we going to live here forever? This is great. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is great success. Just because we listen, just because we are fearful. Now, this fearfulness about Allah, I was talking about this fearfulness about Allah. قَالُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ. Now, the same fearfulness is mentioned with regards to people, to our friends. Not we have to be fearful of them, we have to be fearful for them. This is shafaqah as well. Shafaqah is that compassion which makes you to fear for others, to be worried about them, to feel for them. This is shafaqah. Shafaqah with regards to God is to fear from God. Shafaqah with regards to people is to fear for them. And how many of us are like this? Now, this is another very big, noble trait of believers. They have shafaqah towards each other. They fear for each other. They feel for each other. And that's why, for example, we are told that al-mu'minu mir'atu al-mu'min. Mu'min is the mirror of other mu'min. We have to fear for them. We have to guide them. We have to tell them honestly how they can improve, like a mirror, which would reflect good and bad. We have to be a reflection of good and bad of our friends so that we could guide them. One of the ways that the ulama of akhlaq mention for improving character is that choose a friend, a good friend, an intimate friend, and then make a pledge with each other that whatever wrong you see in me, please honestly tell me, without compliments, without trying to please me, and vice versa. And in this way, you correct each other. Because our nafs cannot see the shortcomings that we have. Others can see. And even something more is said about this sort of mutual correction. Not only friends, listen to your enemies. Listen to people who criticize you all the time. Because maybe they see things in you that you cannot see in yourself. It's another way. Anyhow, if there is this shafaqah among mu'minun, first of all, if there is a need for a mu'min, they try to somehow remove it. If someone needs help, they try to help each other. And if someone is going astray, they try to help them and bring them back. Of course, remember the story of the Prophet and the Bedouin, as he said, my example and your example is the example of someone whose camel has shied, running away, kicking and running, and you try to help me, but you actually aggravate the situation by shouting and running after him. So we have to be careful how, with what method, we try to bring people back to God. Now, the other thing which is mentioned, so we had up to till here, we had helm, forbearance, forgiveness, tawazu, humbleness, saha, generosity, Shafaqa, fear, and compassion. Well, we better say compassion rather than fear, because with regards to Allah, we can say fear. And then the other thing which is mentioned, nusa, always wishing well for people and giving them right advice. This is another trait that we have to be careful we do not miss in our relations with people. Now, with regards to nasiha and having wishing well for people, we have many different traditions. The traditions tell us that we have al-mu'min always wishes well for other mu'min. And this is the best quality which you can meet Allah with on the Day of Judgment. If you meet Allah with this quality, wishing well for people on the Day of Judgment, this is the best quality that you ever can meet your Lord with. Now let me tell you one story. It's a very beautiful story. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Well, we know Amr ibn al-As, of course, we don't like him very much, although he was a companion of the Prophet. But we, of course, judge companions of the Prophet by their merits. And anyone who fought against Ali ibn Abi Talib, we do not regard them in high esteem, certainly, because Amirul Mu'mineen was the gate of knowledge of the Prophet, and anyone fighting him, like Amr ibn al-As, who was the right hand of Muawiyah in Battle of Siffin, we don't like him very much. His son, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, was a knowledgeable man. He was one of the fuqaha of the early ages. And we have many traditions reported from him. Also, he had his own school of fiqh. Now, while he was young, at the time of the Prophet, peace be on him, he says, we were sitting in the mosque, and the Prophet said publicly, anyone who wishes to see a man of paradise, look at the door, a man of paradise is going to come in now. And a very old man, whom we didn't know very much, he came in. And we were surprised. And everyone was, of course, somehow curious why Prophet says this man is a man of paradise. The next day he said the same thing. And we thought that maybe it was a mistake. This man just came by accident. Second day, the Prophet said the same thing, and the same man came in. Third day, the same thing, the same man came in. I went to this man. I wanted to see why Prophet says that he is a man of paradise. And he was not a well-known person, not a well-known companion of the Prophet. I went to him, and I made a sort of a strategy, a stratagem to be with him a couple of nights. So I told him, you know, I'm a young man, and I have had some problem with my father. I don't want to go home. Can I come to your home for a couple of nights and stay with you? He said, yes, of course. I'm alone in my home. You can come. I went to his home, and I stayed with him. I was watching all night to see what this man is doing. Is he going to wake up for Salatul Layl? I was waiting, he didn't. Then when it was Fajr, he woke up, he did his salat, and went for his business. The next day, the same. I didn't see much zikrullah, he's saying. I didn't see much spirituality in his house. No, none of these I saw. So on the third day, I thought, well, this might have been a mistake, certainly. This man, of course, why? So I asked him, you know, actually, I didn't have any problem with our father. I just wanted, because Prophet had said, you are a man of paradise, I wanted to see what made you to be a man of paradise. I didn't see anything special. Do you have anything secret, anything that you do in secret that I didn't see? He said, no, that's what you saw. I'm an ordinary man. So he was very disappointed. Then when he was leaving, the man called him back, said, come here, there is one thing, maybe that is the reason. I never ever have felt jealous for any favor Allah has given to anyone. And I always have wished well for everyone. Then he realized this is the reason. And this is actually the meaning of this hadith. Inna a'zama an-nas manzilatan inda Allah yawm al-qiyamah amshahum fi ardihi bin-nasihati li-khalqihi. The people with greatest esteem in the eyes of Allah on the day of judgment are those who walk on the earth wishing well for people. An-nasiha. Wow. So worship, ibadah, closeness to God is not only, as we have all of us know, worshiping, praying, fasting, such things. These are very important things. And of course, vice versa. Good character is not only these. You have to keep your conduct with Allah in the right manner. You have to keep your conduct with your nafs in the right manner. Then, of course, the aspect of conduct with people and what we will discuss later on, conduct with the world. We should not be carried away when we see a good quality in someone and saying that that is the perfect character. Some people are always good to others, for example. They do lots of charitable work, but they are not good to God. They're not good to God. They don't remember him. They are not grateful to him. So we cannot say that this is a perfect character. No. On the other hand, some people are always spending their time in worshiping, fasting, praying, but they're not good to people. Well, they are not perfect character. Everything should come together. For example, some people say, we are very good in heart, but we are lazy in salat. And we see other people, they are doing salat all the time, but they are not good in heart. Both of them are bad. Both of them are bad. We have to seek perfection in all aspects, in all directions of our growth. That's very important. Let me mention another hadith. عليكم بالنصح لله في خلقه فلن تلقاه بعمل أفضل من say salawat. إياكم بالنصح لله في خلقه فلن تلقاه بعمل أفضل من make sure that always you wish well for people. Fi khalqih. You see, even it doesn't say for believers. Fi khalqih. Even for animals. Even for the environment. Of course, khalq usually in these contexts mean people. Because you cannot meet him with a quality, with an action better than this. Wishing well for people. Now, the last thing that is mentioned in this third category of conduct with the people is al-insaf wal-adl, justice and fairness. What's the difference, first of all? The difference between justice and fairness. Justice is when you want to judge among people. When you want to deal with other people in relation to each other, this is justice. Fairness is when you put yourself in as well. Insaf, that means whatever you like for others, like for yourself, or like yourself, like for others, whatever you dislike for yourself, dislike for others. This is insaf. this insaf, especially insaf, is one of the most difficult things when it comes to our conduct with other people. We want other people to be polite, to have good manner, to never wrong us, to never say anything wrong to us. But when we treat them, of course, we think that we have rights to do whatever we want, to say whatever we want. And this is, of course, away from insaf. That is why one of the most difficult obligations, insaf is an obligation. Justice and fairness, they are obligations. One of the most difficult obligations that Allah has ever legislated upon His people is insaf, fairness. And we have to be fair. If we are not fair, then when we go before the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing before Allah in His court, and we want to say things, Allah says, well, you are not fair yourself. How do you want me to be fair? Of course, He will be fair. But then His fairness would work against us rather than working for us. Now, let me mention one hadith in this regard. This hadith is in Kafi from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Sayyidul A'mal Thalatha. The master of all actions, the best of all actions are three. Insafun nas min nafsik hatta la tarza bi shay'in illa radita lahum mithlah. You be fair with people so that you do not want anything for them which is hard for them, unless you are pleased to have it for yourself as well. Well, this insaf is the golden rule of ethics, isn't it? Like for others what you like for yourself, and dislike for others what you dislike for yourselves. All the scriptures, Bible, Quran, other scriptures, they all have given us with this. I've come up with this golden rule. But this hadith has something even more than that. What is more than insaf? What is more than fairness? More than insaf is muwasat. Wa muwasatuka al-akh fil mal. Muwasat is when you have something, you need it yourself. You see that someone is in more need, you divide it between yourself and them. This is muwasat. Wal muwasatuka al-akh fil mal. And this third part is very, very beautiful. Sayyidul A'mal thalatha. There are three acts which are nobler than all other acts. What is the third one? The first one was insaf, the second was muasat, the third one is wadhikrullahi ala kulli hal, remembering Allah in every circumstances, in every situation, remembering Allah. What does that mean? Imam explains himself. Laysa subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar faqat. I don't mean just remembering Allah with your tongue all the time, saying subhanallah alhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. No, I don't mean that. Although this is dhikr as well, I mean something more than that. Dhikrullah ala kullaha, remembering God in every circumstance, is not only saying these things. Idha warada alayka shay'un min amrillah azza wa jal. ولكن إذا ورد عليك شيء ولكن إذا ورد عليك شيء أمر الله عز وجل به أخذت به، أو إذا ورد عليك شيء نهى الله عز وجل عنه تركته. Remembrance of God is this in every circumstances. When you face a situation, before embarking upon action, remember, is this what God wants or He doesn't want? Is this what God commands or He doesn't command? Is it what pleases God or it doesn't please God? This is dhikrullah ala kulli hal, remembering God in every circumstances, although subhanallah alhamdulillah is also part of it, but this is more difficult. And this is what leads us to paradise, inshallah. I pray that Allah will help us with the blessings of this month to obtain all these good qualities mentioned in this hadith. Bin Nabi wa Alih wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa Alih al-Tahirin. چند جمله رو به فارسی عرض کنم خدمت دوستان فارسی زبان. صحبت ما درباره عدل و انصاف بود. فرق عدل و انصاف اینه که در عدل شما به مردم نظر دارید، بین مردم میخواید حکم بکنید، باید عادل باشید. یک معنای عدل اینه، یک معنای عدل در رابطه با تعامل مردم با هم دیگه. در انصاف شما به رابطه بین خودتون و مردم نظر دارید که بین خودتون و مردم به عدل حکم بکنید، این میشه انصاف. و این انصاف یکی از اون قاعده های اخلاقی است که تمام نظام های اخلاقی، چه نظام های اخلاقی دینی و چه نظام های اخلاقی غیر دینی، همه بهش حکم کردن. در انجیل خب خیلی مشهوره اون کلامی که حضرت عیسی فرمودن که برای خودتان اون چه که برای دیگران نمیپسندید برای خودتون نپسندید، و اون چه برای خودتون میپسندید برای دیگران هم بپسندید. خب در اسلام هم همینو داریم. در یک روایتی هست که مرحوم کلینی از امام صادق علیه السلام روایت میکنند که سید الاعمال ثلاثه، بالاترین اعمال سه چیزه. اول انصاف الناس من نفسک، این که بین خودت و بین مردم انصاف داشته باشی، همین چیزی که عرض کردیم، اون چیزی که برای خودت نمیخوای برای دیگران نخوای. ما در انصاف یه مقداری کوتاهی داریم. ببینید من خودم مثلا وقتی اشتباهی میکنم، حالا به فرض تو رانندگی مثلا، یه مثال خیلی ساده، اشتباه میکنم، یکی بوق میزنه، فورا اعتراض میکنم، اشتباه کردم دیگه، چه بوق میزنه؟ وقتی کسی دیگه اشتباه میکنه من بوق میزنم، این انصاف نیست دیگه. حالا شما این مثال خیلی ساده پیش و پا افتاده رو بگیرید، در مسائل بالاتر، در مسائل خانوادگی، در مسائل بین زن و شوهر، در مسائل بین فرزند و والدین، ما انصاف رو رعایت نمی کنیم. انصاف اینه که شما همیشه وقتی میخواید قضاوت بکنید خودتون رو بذارین جای اون طرف، ببینید اون چی داره فکر میکنه، اگر شما اونجا بودید چجوری عکس العمل نشان میدادید، نه اینکه همش ما به فکر خودمون باشیم و به فکر تکبر نفسی که همیشه همراه ما هست که من همیشه راست میگم بقیه همیشه اشتباه میکنن. این دقیقا خلاف انصاف همینه دیگه. خب پس فرمود برترین اعمال سه چیزه، یکی انصاف که برای دیگران نپسندی چیزی رو که برای خودت نمیپسندی، دوم مواسات و کل اخ فی المال. از انصاف هم شاید سخته، چون انصاف فقط در قضاوت این مسئله مالی هم پیش میاد، یه وقتی مسئله مالی پیش میاد یه قضاوت سخت میشه. این که اگر کسی محتاجه، تو مالی داری و به این مال یه وقت ایثار، ایثار از مواسات بالاتر. ایثار یعنی که اون چه خودت داری و میخوای واقعا اونو بدی کلشو، مواسات اینه که نصفشو بدی، یک تقسیم کنی بین خودت و او، تقسیم بکنی. مسائل عرض کردن، مسائل مالی که پیش میاد دیگه قضایای خطرناک میشه، یه سخت دیگه اینجا. ولی اینو عرض بکنم، همونطور که در حدیثی که دیروز عرض کردیم، از صدقتو لا تزید و صاحبهو الا کثرتن، وقتی انسان چیزی رو میده فقط زیاد میشه، کم نمیشه. ما اینو تجربه کردیم، همه پدران ما، ما در زندگیمون تجربه کردیم، هر چیزی رو که برای خدا دادیم زیاد شده، هر چیزی رو که برای غیر خدا بوده کم شده. خب این مواسات یکی دیگه از سید اعمال. و این چیزی که خیلی اهمیت داره، ذکر الله علی کل حال، این که انسان در همه حالات، در همه موقعیت ها به یاد خدا باشه. بعد امام توضیح میده منظورم سبحان الله والحمدلله ولا اله الا الله والله اکبر نیست فقط. درسته این ذکر خداست، ولی این یک پرده از ذکر خداست. یک پرده دیگه از ذکر خدا که خیلی اهمیت داره اینه که وقتی میخوای یه عملی رو انجام بدی، قبل از اینکه مبادرت به اون عمل بکنی، اول فکر بکنی آیا این حلال حرامه؟ خدا راضیه؟ آیا این خدا رو خوشنود میکنه یا خدا رو ناراحت میکنه، خدا رو اذیت میکنه؟ این با زبان ماست دیگه، خدا که البته خوشنودی اذیت ناراحتش نیست، ما نیست. ولی در حدیث داریم این دعا رو، خوب هممون خیلی وقتا در این ماه رمضان بخونیم، چون خیلی بهش محتاجیم. اللهم انی اسالک ما یرضیک و اعوذ بک مما یؤذیک. از من با زبان ماست، خدایا من از تو میخوام به من توفیق بدی فقط اون کارهایی رو بکنم که تو خوشت میاد، تو دوست داری، و پناه میبرم به تو از کارهایی که تو رو اذیت میکنه، تو رو ناراحت میکنه. هر چیزی که پلیدی درش باشه خدا رو ناراحت میکنه. عرض کردم اینا رو با زبان ما گفتن، خدا منزه از این طور چیزها. ولی برای اینکه ما بتونیم بفهمیم رابطه ما با خدا چگونه است، یک روایت دیگه ای داریم، این روایت رو عرض کنم، از بازم در کتاب کافی، از امام جعفر صادق علیه السلام، من اشد ما فرض الله علی خلقه ذکر الله کثیرا، شدیدترین مسئولیت، شدیدترین واجباتی که خداوند بر بندگانش، بندگانش رو بر اون امر کرده اینه که در همه حال یاد خدا باشن، خدا رو زیاد یاد کنن. خب این کجاش خیلی شدیده؟ بعد امام فرمودن لا اعنی، منظورم این نیست سبحان الله والحمدلله ولا اله الا الله والله اکبر و ان کان من، هرچند اینم ذکر الله، ولی منظورم از اون فریضه شدید خداوند این نیست، منظورم از این از اون واجب خیلی شدید، فریضه شدید اینه، ولیکن ذکر الله عندما احل و حرم، این که جایی که به حلال و حرام میرسیم خدا رو یاد کنیم. پروردگار را به حق محمد و آل محمد، ما رو از هر عملی که تو رو ناراحت میکنه، تو رو از ما دور میکنه، ما رو از تو دور میکنه، ما رو از این اعمال باز بدار. به حق این شهر عزیز به ما توفیق بده، هر عملی که تو رو خوشنود میکنه ما رو به تو نزدیک میکنه، توفیق انجامش رو داشته باشیم. امر ولج فرج ولی عصر نزدیک بگردان، به فرجش فرجی به امت اسلام عطا بفرما، و صلی الله علی محمد و آله الطاهرین.